You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
You're tuned into The Wire, 1 hour of current affairs and analysis starting now.
Tēnā koutou katoa ko no toku ingoa. No mai haere mai ki te Wire mo tēnei rā. Kia ora and welcome to The Wire for Friday, the 1st of October. I'm your host, Noah. I've been away for 7 weeks, but am finally allowed back in the studio, which is very exciting. I've just been sitting at my desk and emailing our news chief, Jemima, files for the past 2 months, but now I get to press the buttons myself. My producer, Elena, is still working from home as she brings us stories. We've got heaps today. Our news chief, Jemima, brings us a breaking story on potential breaches to the COVID-19 border. I spoke to MP Christopher Luxon about the National Party's plan to deal with COVID-19 over the coming years. I also spoke to Melanie Weber, Vice President of the Post-Primary Teachers Association, about how students have been doing in lockdown amid recent news that achievement rates have declined over the past 2 years. I also spoke to Professor Sean Hendy about his recent modelling of vaccination rates he's done for the government and whether we're likely to see a way, or when we're likely to see a way out of this lockdown. My producer Elena, as I said, she's working from home. She speaks to Councillor Pippa Coombe about the rejuvenation of Midtown Auckland and the council's response to the government's Three Waters proposal. If you want to share your thoughts about any of our stories, tuku pātui mai, you can text us in on 5395 or give me a call on 309 3879. You can catch all these stories and more by podcast on the 95VFM website, but let's get into the show.
It's fucked.
Yeah, it is.
The Wire.
In breaking news, a resident from Onifero Village contacted us this morning and explained that they have witnessed an increase in non-local traffic heading out and into Auckland at parts of the southern Auckland border since the rest of the country entered Level 3. Firstly, to give a little background on the border controls at the southern border, since the rest of New Zealand, bar Auckland, entered Level 3 at 11:59pm on Tuesday, the 31st of August, there have been 5 southern border checkpoints at the following locations. 1. State Highway 1 at the Mercer off-ramp for southbound traffic. 2. State Highway 1 at Oram Road for northbound traffic. 3. Mangatawhiri Road at State Highway 2. 4. East Coast Road to the Waharo Regional Park, and 5. State Highway 22 at Pukekaua to Churchill Road and Logan Road. At these checkpoints, people will be stopped by police and asked for proof of their essential travel. With Auckland now being in Alert Level 3 and the rest of the country at Alert Level 2, legal reasons to cross the border have increased, with the government now allowing people to leave Auckland to move permanently or attend a funeral or a tangi or visit a dying relative. However, strict restrictions are still supposed to be in place to avoid COVID-19 spreading outside of Auckland. At the request of the community, Port Waikato has been included within the Auckland border to ensure those residents are not cut off from essential services close to their homes. However, residents are concerned there are no police checkpoints set up for the Port Waikato area or at Onifero Village. Residents report that they have seen traffic in the area quadruple since August 31st and believe that the vehicles are not locals. They say that they are seeing regular nighttime traffic, which is unusual for the rural, isolated, south of Port Waikato area. Residents have been in touch with local police, who they say have assured them that there have been patrols of the area and occasional roadblocks. Despite this, the locals feel that not enough is being done to prevent people travelling out of Auckland and potentially spreading COVID-19 to the wider New Zealand community. An Onifero Village resident spoke with me this morning to tell me what they have witnessed in terms of increased non-local traffic driving in and out of Auckland within their area. We also talk about what response they've had from officials about it. The resident wants to remain anonymous, so I have transcribed their interview and had Friday Wire producer Elena Shadbolt voice their words to maintain their privacy. I began by asking the resident to explain what they understand to be the gaps in the border based on what they have seen in their community throughout the latest lockdown.
What the story is, so they have a checkpoint at Mercer, as you know, and at the Onefero golf course. There is no checkpoint in the Onefero village, and there is no checkpoint at Port Waikato. So you can go from Tuakau, Pukekohe, Auckland via the Onefero village or Port Waikato to Hamilton, Raglan, Taranaki, whatever you like. When the Waikato went to level 2 and Auckland stayed in level 3, the traffic on the road quadrupled. After 5 or 6 days, a friend of ours went down to the checkpoint and told them what was going on, and the police weren't that interested. They said that they are doing patrols.
So just to clarify, they went to the closest checkpoint to Point Waikato, which is the State Highway 22 Pukekohe checkpoint, yeah?
The closest checkpoint, and said this is what is going on. We get a ton of cars coming past here that aren't local. We know who the locals are. This is a road where we have 20 or 30 cars max, and they are all locals. If you're not a local out here, you shouldn't be here, you know what I mean? It's a rural community. It's an isolated community. There's no reason to be here other than the people who live here. That's gone from that to the point where, I don't know, last Saturday, I think, it was something like 68 cars my daughter counted went past our house. Doesn't sound like a lot to a townie, but it's a lot when there are normally 15. That was in the afternoon. We're getting the odd police car coming through. The last 2 days, there has been quite a bit more of a presence, but they're just driving around. They're not setting up roadblocks or patrols or anything like that. Anybody can drive wherever they want if they know their way around here. If people think, oh, it's a long way out of their road, it only adds an extra half an hour from Auckland to Hamilton, you know? It's just absurd. We're getting cars all hours of the night. So one of the neighbours went and talked to the police about the cars coming through late at night past his farm. And he was told to stay away from them. Those are the guys running the drugs. The local police are really good. The local police are saying that they should just shut down the Tuakau Bridge and the Mercer Bridge, and it shuts down the whole route. But like they say, the local police, what would they know? Their bosses don't agree with them. It's just absurd. We're getting carloads and carloads of people coming through, and they're not doing a thing about it. I mean, like I say, the odd patrol roadblock, but yeah, it's definitely a very big hole, and there's no way they're going to stop this COVID with the amount of people that are coming through.
So you've seen police come through and sort of, you know, patrol the area, but there's not a consistent presence there at all?
No, no, definitely not. It's such a rabbit warren past the Onefero village. People can go where they want. You know, they've pulled over a few people, but probably 5 or 10% of what is going through. And a lot of vehicles coming through are the same vehicles. They are obviously Aucklanders, townies who have discovered a route and are using it and abusing it. What's really amazing is that we usually have no traffic on this road at night time, late at night, and now we're getting cars coming through at 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning.
And particularly if that's where you're living all the time, it must be very noticeable when there's a change.
We've lived here 20 years. We know what traffic is on the road and what cars are on the road, and this isn't locals.
That was Friday Wire producer Elena Shadbolt voicing the transcribed interview I had this morning with an Onefero resident speaking about their community's concern about gaps in the southern Auckland border at Point Waikato and Onefero Village. The resident wanted to remain anonymous, so we are protecting their privacy by having this interview revoiced. I reached out to the police this morning, who responded with a written comment on the issue, which I will read now. Quote, "Police have patrols working on a 24/7 basis in the area covered by unsealed roads on the southern border. Staff patrolling are stopping all vehicles they encounter to ensure any travel is permitted. Anyone found in these areas attempting to cross the boundary can expect to face enforcement action as a result." Unquote. I've also contacted COVID-19 Response Minister Chris Hipkins for comment on this report and hope to follow up with him soon.
Thanks, Jemima, for that breaking story. You're listening to The Friday Wire.
It's time for our weekly chat with National Party MP Christopher Luxon.
This week, the National Party released a plan outlining how they would deal with COVID-19, particularly around lockdowns and vaccinations. I spoke to National MP Christopher Luxon as part of our weekly chat about the proposal and how we can get more people vaccinated and whether he sees a way out of the current lockdown. I started by asking about the proposal, which is split into three sections.
The first part was really what we called an investor phase, and that was really around how do we supercharge the vaccine rollout, get vaccine boosters, upgrade our contact tracing, just some really good things, saliva testing at the border, rapid tests for essential workers, have a dedicated COVID-19 agency actually managing all of this, build purpose-built quarantine, digital app for vaccination authentication, which is a critical thing, and other countries have been doing that quite well. The second bit that you allude to was then really what we called the evolve pillar, and that was really around saying, you know, what does it take to end our reliance on sort of economically damaging and, you know, socially damaging, I would put it to lockdowns. And the view is that when we reach a 70 to 75% vaccination milestone, we can then pursue elimination without having to have nationwide lockdowns. And then the next phase was really around sort of opening up phase, was saying, well, look, when we get to 85, 90% of the 12 plus population being fully vaccinated and we've got a high vaccination rate, coupled with those things that we talked about at the beginning, you know, those 10 things that we want to do investments in, we can actually change the strategy to a vigorous suppression strategy. And that's really very much the case. And then sort of as a result, you'd have a traffic light system of countries that were from, you know, low risk, medium risk and high risk countries as to how you might enable travel to happen at that point in time.
So the government recently had some data around vaccination rates and what that would sort of lead to. One of the researchers, Sean Hendy, was saying vaccination of 80% of over 12s would still see 7,000 New Zealanders die over the course of a year, and over 5,500 people would be hospitalised at the peak of the outbreak. When you talk about the 70% or the 75% that National wants before we open the borders, is that good enough?
Well, we're not opening the borders at 70, 75%. What we're saying is 70 to 75% would mean that we wouldn't need lockdowns. What we're saying is at 85 to 90%, then you would start to open the borders, but you'd do it in a very smart way and in a risk management way. And so we're not being reckless here, but we're also acknowledging that actually, you know, as you're seeing this week, it looks like COVID is in our community, right? And the question is, you know, it'll be very interesting if we still think that pursuing the elimination strategy and getting back to zero cases is actually success here. So we have been very successful over the last year. Now, I'm not meaning to knock the government or not be constructive about that. You know, I think the strategy has worked. There's been some blips, but it has worked by and large. But we are now in quite a different place in 2021, and it turns out we've arrived at 2021 not really in shape to deal with the next phase, or you've used the time well to prepare for what's coming next and to get organised and to get ready. And other countries are doing it, and they're moving on and moving forward.
At this point, to me, it appears that although New Zealand took a while to get vaccines, we currently have enough vaccines, and the issue is more that we don't have enough people taking the vaccines. How is National's plan going to address this? Because vaccination rates have slowed pretty considerably over the past week or so.
Yeah, they have. I mean, to run at the best in the world, which was Israel, on a per capita basis, New Zealand needs to be doing 80,000 injections each and every day, every week, for every month. And that's what the Israelis managed to achieve when they got their country vaccinated in a very short period of time earlier in the year. We've had one, a couple of times we've hit 90,000, we were at 80,000 a couple of times, but, you know, in recent times I think we've been around 25,000 in some days on vaccination. So really what that's saying to us is, look, we need to keep pushing forward, we need to keep unlocking ways to get vaccines to those vulnerable communities and to those vectors and get the communications right.
Can you give some examples of the specific things that the government isn't doing right now but you would like to see?
Well, look, we've introduced one or two buses, right, to go around the communities to talk to, just in this last week, and we've made it a big whoop-de-doo and go, well, why haven't we been doing that for some period of time? We've been, we could make much better use of door-to-door, focusing on the high-risk communities. We could be vaccinating people in MIQs. We could be using incentives. We could be using incentives with young people, with Māori, we could complete vaccinating the very vulnerable people and closing that out. We need to be geared up for vaccinating 12-plus-year-olds in schools before the end of the year, not let that run into next year. We need to be ready to go that when a vaccine is available and is safe,